Those of you that missed this morning's Bible class missed a good one. So we talked about being here for a Bible study. If you'll notice, what we're doing in Romans is we're moving deeper and deeper and deeper each week. We had went to the negative and showed how man was under sin, and Jesus is going to take care of that. Now, we got it. What shall we say then that Abraham our father as pertaining to the flesh is found? For if Abraham is justified by works, he hath whereof to glory, but not before God. For what saith the scripture? Abraham believed God, and it was counted unto him for righteousness. Now to him that worketh is the reward not reckoned of grace, but of debt. But to him that worketh not, but believeth on him that justifieth the ungodly, his faith is counted for righteousness. Even as David also describeth the blessedness of the man unto whom God imputeth righteousness without works, saying, blessed are they whose iniquities are forgiven and whose sins are covered. Blessed is the man to whom the Lord will not impute sin. As we read, this is a marvelous passage. Marvelous passage in that it is telling us something that's so wonderful that we can't hardly even believe it unless you've really experienced it. It asks, first of all, what did Abraham find according to the flesh? And the answer to that is, as a fleshly father of the Jews, he found nothing. He was certainly the one that they're going to copy. They're the ones that they're going to follow him. But he found nothing because he had faith as far as the physical side. And as a fleshly father of the Gentiles, he found nothing. But as the father of the Jews, he found salvation. Salvation because he believed God. And when we talk about believing God, we're not just talking about he assented that there is a God. He trusted in God with all of his heart. He trusted so much that it put him to working. But he's not saved by the works. He's saved because he truly believes, and that sets him to work. As a faith father of the Gentiles, he found salvation also. If you'll remember, we are all the children of Abraham if we have the kind of faith that he had. And his faith was enormous in that when God said something, he believed it. Even though sometimes he ran ahead of God, and even though his obedience was not perfect, he had the kind of faith that God said you can be justified if you have that kind of faith. He had faith in God's promises. If you'll remember, the gospel was preached to Abraham. It was preached in that he said that all nations were going to be blessed by his seed. And his seed turns out to be Jesus Christ. So he had faith in the Savior that was coming. He had faith that God was going to deliver his promise, that God would give him certainly land and these things, but more than that, he was going to give him a Savior, one that was going to pay the penalty for his sin. And so this is the main thought of this whole thing. All of God's promises lead to Jesus Christ. Whenever you look in the Word of God, that's the place that it's going to be. If you start in Genesis, it really is going to show you Jesus Christ. And sometimes I would like for you to test that. And then the real question, was Abraham justified by works or faith? And we could answer that in two ways. Number one, he was not justified by works that he did. But he was justified because he let God work in him. Did that make sense? So the problem with human righteousness, if justified by works, he could not boast before God. You ever notice that we like to boast to somebody? I did good. I did a good thing. And we like to boast. He says that if you boast, you can't boast before God. You may be better than every other individual, but you can't boast before God because you've only done what you're supposed to do. And the Jewish assumption was Abraham kept the law perfectly. They really believed that. In their writings, they said, we want to be like Abraham because he kept the law perfectly. He didn't keep the law perfectly. He did not walk by faith in every moment. He did obey God, and he believed in God, but he was not perfect. And then Jews thought Abraham had perfect obedience. Yes, he moved when God told him to, but if you will really study it, he had to tell him twice before he really moved. And so he had the obedience. So here's the point. If salvation is earned, there is no need for grace. There is no need for a Savior. There is no need whatsoever to have Jesus in our life. If we earn salvation, then we do not need to be saved. We deserve to be saved because we have done it perfectly. We have lived the life and we kept the commandments, and it's always in relationship to law that we are justified. Justified by law, and if you don't keep the law, you are lost. So human works are trying to get God's approval. One of the things I can remember my children many times, my daughter would come in and say, Dad, 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 look. And she'd turn a somersault. Are you watching, Dad? Are you watching? And that's the way we are with God. God, are you watching? I did something good today. I did something wonderful. Did you see, God? No. That doesn't win it. Human righteousness produces self-righteousness, but never before God. These people, as they lived, the Pharisees and those leaders, the scribes, they really thought that they were living the Word of God. I don't know whether you remember in the old days, they used to say that members of the Church of Christ were walking Bibles. And then, in those days, they were walking Bibles in that they knew what the Scripture said. But most of the time, what they're doing is following what the oral law was instead of what the law of Moses really was. So they can't brag before God. So the truth about boasting, and I want you to pay attention here as we go. We're going to get in some fairly deep things here that's going to get more deep, if we can say that, as time goes on. Any system of works leaves room for pride. We like to think that we have done good. And when we think that we have done good, we swell up in pride. And the reason why that's wrong is it's about us. Anything good that we do should be credited to God. That is God working in us. And we're letting God work in us. But it's not because we're really good. The goodness comes because of Jesus Christ. We're going to see that as we move through here. So the gospel leaves no room for boasting. Now, there is a boasting that we're to do, and we'll mention that. Any boasting should be in the Lord. It's what the Lord does. This is one of the things that I think we don't hear enough of, is this is God working what you're seeing, and the kindness that you see is Jesus working. I think that's 1 Corinthians. But of him are ye in Christ Jesus, who of God is made unto us wisdom. Where's our wisdom? In Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is our wisdom. And righteousness. It is not that I'm righteous, but Christ is righteous. And when I get into Christ, God counts me righteous. He is my wisdom. In other words, I have knowledge about him, and I also, by watching him and studying him, I know how to act at the right time. He's our sanctification, that is, he moves us by the word of God, that we are sanctified in him, and we are redeemed in him. This is what Christ is to us, that according as it is written, he that glorieth, let him glory in the Lord. People say sometimes, you know, you're wise. No, Christ is wise. I'm simply copying him. Everything that I do, I am copying him. The apostles, everything they did, they were copying him. And the apostle Paul later says, be ye followers of me as I also am of Christ. So as he follows Christ, he says, you can look at me, you can see Christ working in me, follow that. And so he's pointing out here, he has been made our wisdom, our righteousness, our sanctification, and redemption. We are bought back by him completely, and it's because we have faith. So I'm asking the question this morning as we are in the lesson, are you depending on your obedience or your grace? You follow that? If I am obeying, is that what gets me to heaven? And the answer is no. The grace of God is how we are saved. Put that down, write it down, put a peg in there, that the grace of God is what saved us. Our obedience is not. We're going to talk about our obedience in a moment. But our obedience is not what saves us. Let's give all of the credit to God. God is his grace is saving us. So the principle of imputed righteousness. Romans 4, 3 through 5. For what saith the scripture? Abraham believed God, and it was counted unto him for righteousness. Now to him that worketh is the reward not reckoned of grace, but of debt. But to him that worketh not, but believeth on him that judgeth the ungodly, his faith is counted for righteousness. What did he say? True faith is what God counts righteous. When I really have faith, and that is faith in Jesus Christ, faith in his word, faith in his promises, faith that God is going to give me what he has promised. When I really have that, God says, I'm going to count that for righteousness. Abraham was not righteous. God counted him righteous. Do you follow the difference? Abraham was not a righteous man. In fact, he was an ungodly man. But because he turned to God and believed what God said, depended upon those promises, it's that because of that he was counted righteous. It's a bookkeeping term. He put in his book, Abraham is now righteous. Why? Because he has faith in me, and therefore he is righteous. Abraham did not earn grace. It was a gift. God said, I'm going to give you this gift because you're depending upon me. I'm going to extend that grace later on to everybody if they will depend upon me. If they will truly come to me in the way that I tell them to come, that I will give them the grace, and that is a gift that everybody will have. Abraham trusted God's promises. You know, I want you to think about that for just a minute. You're in a land, let's just trace him for a minute. He's in a land, and God says, Abraham, I want you to leave your country, leave all of these conveniences. I want you to take off across the desert, and I will take you to the place you want to, I want you to go. And Abraham said, okay, God. He packed up his bags, packed up his tent, and took off across the country. He didn't have any idea where he was going. He only knew that God says, I want you to leave, and I'll take you to the place you need to go. So he's following God, and he knows where he's going, to the place that God wants him to be. But I don't know where that is. God says, I'll show you. You just follow me. Now that's faith. That's the kind of faith that we need. And that was accomplished when he made up his mind that he was going to do what God said. Before he ever did what God said, it's done when you make up your mind, that's the path I'm going to take. So the contrast between two systems. Salvation by works excludes grace. Whenever we say that we have to do works, and I'll just say right now, baptism is not a work. Have you ever noticed something about baptism? That when you're baptized, you are like a dead man. You're buried. You don't do any works. God does it all. Somebody else lays you down. You're dead. So don't take that in there. But salvation by works excludes grace. Now, we're not talking about God working. We're talking about our works. And then works equals obligation. And if that was true, that we're saved by works, God would owe us salvation. He's in debt to us. We're not in debt to him. He is in debt to us if we're going to be saved by works. And then the system of faith completely trusts God's grace. That eliminates the works. I'm not saved by the works. I'm saved by the grace of God. People, if they don't get this right, have really messed it up in the religious world. The shocking thing is God justifies the ungodly. Did you notice that? He justified the ungodly. How can God, who is so righteous, justify the ungodly? And of course, Jesus is the answer to that. But God is going to do something that is absolutely impossible when you think about it. Except God says, I've provided a way, I am going to justify this ungodly man. And he does not justify the righteous, but the sinner that believes. That's amazing to me, that God is justifying the sinner. Though he were rich, yet he became poor, and for our sakes. He justifies us, and he's looking for the sinner to justify. So we need to stand amazed as we stand here and watch God's plan unfold. And as I've said before, this Romans is the greatest commentary on the book of Genesis. It is just the greatest. So the power of the gospel. The gospel is about declaring the ungodly righteous. That's what it's about. It's taking sinners, and those sinners believe the gospel. And it's there that God is saying, I'm going to now justify you, or I'm going to make you righteous. Not because you're righteous. I'm going to make you righteous. I'm going to count you righteous. Not because you're righteous, but because I count you righteous. So righteousness is credited to one's account. In other words, what he is saying is when I stand before the judgment seat of Christ and they look at us, what's against Mason French? Nothing. He has been justified. Why? Because he has trusted God and put his trust in Jesus Christ, and therefore he stands justified and no sin is accounted against him. Now, I want you to get this straight in your mind. When Jesus Christ died, he did not take our sins upon him. That's the common teaching everywhere. When Jesus Christ died, he died and he paid the price that God required for him to forgive people. If he took our sins upon him, he would be the sinner. He was counted as sin, even though he had not sinned, because God is putting upon him the price that God requires him to pay to buy the sinners. The bankrupt person has debt paid by the blood of Christ. In other words, the purchase price, according to Acts, the 20th chapter, is the blood of Christ. That is what purchases you and I. So we've been bought by the blood of Christ. If we've been bought by the blood of Christ, we're going to be put into Christ. And if we're put into Christ, we're going to stand justified before God, because God will count that as righteousness. All that the ungodly can offer is his need. You can't offer God anything else. God, this is what I need. I'm a sinner, and I need salvation, and I need you to tell me how I come to you in the right way. Once forgiven, faith moves into action. Follow this real closely. Follow this closely. It's not our obedience that saves us. For in Jesus Christ, neither circumcision, that is works of any kind, availeth anything, nor uncircumcision, but faith which worketh by love. What's driving my love? My faith. What's driving my faith? My love. When I truly love God, it automatically means that I'm going to walk in good works. The good works are not what saves me, but because God has loved me and saved me, I now love him and I love what I do. The point was made this morning in Bible class. The reason why we come to Bible class, the reason we come to church, is because we love God. We love one another. We love the comments that are made. We love being here. What stops us? What stops us? My love is not great enough. That's what stops me. My love is not great enough to accomplish it. I'm not saying everybody that doesn't make it to Bible study is wrong. I'm talking about this consistent thing. This consistent thing is, my love is not great enough. You know, if you go to work and you have to be at work at 9 o'clock in the morning and you show up at 10 o'clock and they say, what's the matter? Well, I overslept today. Okay. Well, what about next week? What about the next day? The next day. Every day I'm an hour late. How long do you think you'll keep the job? You see, that's not so much love as it is that I need to get paid. This is about love. You can't get any closer to Christ than right here. In Ephesians 2:10, for we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works. In other words, we're first created because of our love that moves us out to do what God wants, which God hath ordained that we should walk in them, the good works. All we have to ask, is it a good work of what we're doing here? If it is, we ought to be prompt in it. So sins of David, even as David also described the blessedness of the man unto whom God imputeth righteousness without works, saying, blessed are they whose iniquities are forgiven and whose sins are covered. Blessed is the man to whom the Lord will not impute sin. Who is the man that the Lord will not impute sin to? Think about it. David says, me. He didn't impute sin to me. Why not? Why did he not? David sinned with Bathsheba. Oh, that was a terrible sin, wasn't it? He had people killed. He sinned against the whole congregation. He suffered some consequences. The deep guilt he had a deeper forgiveness. It's amazing. God forgave him. On what basis? He repented and believed God. So the greatest gift is not wealth, but pardon. When I know that I'm forgiven by God, I don't have to worry about much else. God has forgiven me. Sins forgiven, sins are covered, and sins are not imputed. Why? Well, because I'm in Christ. I'm in God's promises. Do you realize what happens whenever you're baptized? You're moved from here into Christ. And if I moved into Christ, then God looks and says, he is completely righteous. You're in him. And all of your sins are taken and washed away. You ever realize in the blood, what the blood does in your body? It takes away the infections and what have you. That's what happens with the blood of Christ. So God is dealing with sin on the cross. That's what the cross is about. God says, I'm going to deal with sin. In Christ is where sins are pardoned. You cannot be saved except through Jesus Christ. It's just that simple. And all in Christ partakes of his righteousness. Now, if you don't get into Christ, if you just get baptized, and many people think if they just get baptized, they're okay. If I really get into Christ, that is, if I really trust in him and I really am baptized knowing that I'm coming into Christ, knowing that I'm sharing in the death of Christ, knowing in my mind that I've climbed upon the cross, then we partake of Christ's righteousness. This is the very heart of justification. He's going to develop it even more as we go further. But blessings, not when life is easy. Blessings are when sins are forgiven And I know that. I know that all of you have sinned. Every one of us. But to know that God has forgiven you, and I hear people all the time, I'm not sure, and I have this problem myself. With all that I've done, believe Christ. He says, I'm forgiving you. God forgives you of your sins. It's not because I'm so good, it's because I'm in Christ, is why. You have to share in the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Christ, and we do that in our mind as we obey the gospel and when we're baptized. Our assurance is from God's promise, not our performance. I want us to remember that. It's not how well we perform. Abraham didn't perform very well. David didn't perform very well. Many did not perform very well. But I am in Christ, and therefore I receive the blood of Christ, and I'm saved. True faith produces humility and gratitude. My gratitude says, I want to be a part of Christ, and being a part of Christ is being a member of the church, and being a member of the church, I have obligations, and I'm here because I love you. Isn't that simple? If you don't love us, I understand. If you love me, I don't understand. Pride dies and worship begins. So in the conclusion, God justifies the ungodly by their faith in Christ as Savior. Whatever Christ says, that's what I want to do. That's what I want to be. It's not just I'm trying to copy him. I copy him to the degree that he becomes a part of me, and I become a part of him. We are bought by the blood of Christ. Don't let anybody ever tell you you can be saved any other way. You have to get in contact with the blood of Christ. This is where the denominations fail. They don't tell you how to get to the blood of Christ. Sin against us will never be brought up if we're in Christ. That's a guarantee from God. So here's the last passage. In Romans 6, 3 and 4. Know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ. Where? Into Jesus Christ. What does that mean? It means that I'm a part of Christ. What is a part of Christ? It's being a member of the church, because the church is the body of Christ. If I'm a member of the body of Christ, I'm a member of Christ. And if I'm a member of Christ, I'm a part of you. Jesus Christ were baptized into his death. What did he do in his death? He shed his blood. And how do we get to his death? When we're baptized into it. Therefore, we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. That is so simple. And yet, it's almost unfathomable that God would take sinners like us, put us in Christ as we're baptized into him, and count us as righteous people. And if God counts us righteous, then even though we're not righteous, we are righteous. Make sense? Okay. Why don't you come right now while together we stand and sing?